cliffcentral.com.
What is what does Matthew McConaughey say? He goes, "All right, all right, all right." Isn't he? That's his thing. He says that in movies. He does it in person. It's his thing. He goes, "All right, all right, all right." That's how I'm feeling this morning. How are you doing? You good? All right.
Ooh,
all right,
you also pulled a Joey Tribbiani there.
How you doing? That's right. That's I'm just fake. I'm full of other people's lines this morning. Okay. The show's over.
So what's the real Gareth?
I knew we'd get to this at some point, so that's the end of the show. All right, everybody. Let's start our mornings. Let's get cracking. Up you go. Monday is here, and she's vicious. She's ready to take you down.
What a bitch.
What a bitch.
Oh, jeez.
All right, so...
It's very graphic, ladies and gentlemen.
How's everybody? How was the weekend?
Survived?
Just doing a little stretch.
Did you,
we're good.
Did you get your sleeping Jesus fixed, Leanne?
No, still not. So I'm still going to sleep with a tennis ball and a wooden spoon on my forehead at night.
That's terrible. Jesus.
So I've emailed the people.
Yeah.
Because it's quite a thing to get this. You can't just go into a shop and buy a mask.
Yeah.
And
yeah, no, they're
it's
not available.
Fitted and
I didn't see any at Game or Macro or Spa.
It's all got to go through medical aid and approvals and all this sort of thing. So it takes quite a while, but I need to get it soon because I've got this like permanent bruise feeling on my forehead. And also because of the spoon, I can't sleep on my side.
So at every least, time you want to turn, you just get this like big spoon on your forehead.
No, so when I try and turn, it lifts the mask and the air comes. It's like air comes gushing through and like blinds you. So
you know,
I'm just
thinking about if someone ever broke into your house, they would.
Yeah.
They'd go through the house and they'd come to you in the bedroom with this mask and the spoon and the bouncy ball and they'd go, "Oh Jesus, we've broken into an invalid's house. This is wrong. Put everything back. Shame. Uh-huh. Let's get out of here. Shame. She can't. She's like she's special needs. You've got to give her her life back. Guys, everybody, put the stuff away.
She's hanging by a thread already. Just
right, exactly.
Leave her alone.
Dare I say, though, I'm proud that you were even able to put all of this together. No.
I was desperate, so.
Yeah, well done. Well done.
It had to happen.
Because you're still at the point where you can't sleep without it. Like, that's just not an option.
Well, there's a possibility that I'll die during the night. So that's what drives me.
Just the small things, yeah. It's just a little thing, everybody. Yeah, calm down. It's just that there's a possibility she could die. I love the way Leanne throws that in, like, how was the rugby over the weekend? You know, what did you think of this person's shit posting on social media?
How did you sleep? Well, I didn't die.
Yeah, let's look at the small things. I didn't die.
That's an hypnagogia.
So we're
Hypnagogia.
We're talking to, we've got a lot of interesting people coming on the show this morning, interesting stuff happening. We'll get to all of that in a moment. But I see Hermine is already on. She's watching us live on the link, which we provide on cliffcentral.com. And she says, "Dear God, you can see the Monday on everyone's faces. Do we look that bad?"
I think she was watching before we'd really started.
What a bitch.
But we're fine now. We're okay.
Hadmin's always, but everyone knows Hadmin can be a real bitch. I mean, everyone knows. What a bitch. So I don't know if you heard, but the song I was playing at the start of the show is Afternoon Delight. Do you remember when we did a version of that for our show on Five?
Yes, absolutely.
Everybody did an Afternoon Delight version. And I actually...
For some reason, I wasn't there that recording.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
CS and my ballet and Damon all chipping in with your song.
That's right. And we sang that.
It was horrible.
It's the worst song, and it's made only worse by our singing. But then I got the what reignited my interest in that terrible song was Anchorman. because they had that song in the Anchorman movie.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Star, what? Gonna find my baby, gonna hold me her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight. And it's all actually about having sex.
It's so gross.
You think?
Yeah.
It's the grossest song. It's great. Started out this morning feeling so polite. I thought something about a fish that could not be caught that didn't bite. And I got some beta waiting, and I think I might try nibbling a little afternoon delight. What a song.
I started becoming quite grossed out by thinking of other people having sex.
Oh, have you got to that
phase
stage?
I'm going through.
Yeah. No, I'm with
in
you.
In general, no matter how hot they are?
Yeah.
She's become, it's taken many years, but she's become completely frigid now. Leanna's lost all interest in sex. Everything's dried up and sealed up. Everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I wasn't speaking about myself.
Cobwebs, the whole thing. The business is closed. They've shut the doors. They put a padlock on.
No entry.
No entry. Yeah.
Oh, Leanne.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
No, I wasn't speaking about myself. I'm talking about other people.
Leanne's loins closed for further until further notice.
Just cobwebs and cobwebs. Just.
All right.
Sorry, Leanne. We'll stop picking on you.
Someone tried to tell me once that there is a difference between cobwebs and spider webs.
Is there? Isn't a cob just a spider? It's an old English word for spider. Or am I wrong?
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah,
but someone said, no, it's just a gathering of dust. I'm like, yes, it's sitting on spider
web. On a spider web, yeah. A spider web is a cobweb. It's the same thing. That person is full of shit. You should stop listening to that person.
So I didn't even bother going down this road and investigating more about this article because I said the truth actually scares me. It was in the New York Post over the weekend.
Yeah.
There was this new type of web that they found in a forest somewhere. So being that it's unique, and secondly, the fact that it is large enough to sort of like stop a human being. So not physically stop, but it is as long and as wide as a human being. So I'm thinking, is this a new type of spider that could like capture a human being? I don't want to know this. The truth scares me. So
it sounds like Shelob from Lord of the Rings. You remember Shelob's that spider that lives in the mountains? It catches Frodo in its massive web and uses it as this big stinger.
The last thing we need in 2020 is to find out there's a new species of spider that wants to get us all dead.
Oh, please. And
listen, I got home the other night and after dinner, and I usually just enter and exit via my bedroom door. It's just quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got home in the dark, I could see, it was huge.
A spider.
It was blocking my entrance, basically. Thank God my gardener lives here. I called him and he came out with a broom. But so I'm getting the fumigators in this week.
You know, this all we've spoken about since the start of the show is your blocked entrances.
my trachea.
Yeah,
my vagina.
Exactly.
And my bedroom door.
It's if you whittle it down, it's all about how every one of Leanne's orifices and entrances is a no-go zone.
I need one of those like oral unblocking.
Yeah. You need to go to a crystal healer, and she must open you up a bit.
My chakras.
Yeah, get your chakras and your orifices open. Put them back to work. It's good. So I must be honest with you. I didn't pay any attention to the news over the weekend, and I was meant to be going away to the Kruger National Park, which I haven't been to. I haven't been to the Kruger National Park, and I know this is sacrilege to some people because – it's one of the treasures of this country. You know, it's one of the reasons that people come from all over the world to come to South Africa. Is it raining where you are, Leanne?
Yeah, I'm.
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay, because I can hear it in the background.
No, that's my computer, my fan. I need to close my
computer. I've been trying to figure out what that sound is.
Sounded like it. Sorry. Like there's a wall of water hitting right for your house. That's what it sounded like. So anyway, I haven't been to the Kruger National Park for 20 years, and I do love it, despite not being the kind of person who has the attention span to be able to look for animals, you know, and I get bored with that stuff very easily. And I know that people say, oh, that's disgusting. Don't you realize, like, you're missing out? Okay, so here's the deal. I'm going to go for 3 days and 3 nights. I was going to be there with my brother. He arranged the whole thing. My brother and sister-in-law arranged everything. They booked this camp, which is apparently really nice. And they booked this last year for August of this year for his birthday. And he thought, well, we'll all go as a family. It'll be nice to get away. And then, of course, you know, Corona happened and lockdown happened and the park was closed. So they said to him, you can't go in August, but we'll give you the first available date once it reopens. So lo and behold, it reopens, and they give him this week. And he said, cool, we'll take it. This is now a couple of weeks ago. And then it all like got finalized, and we knew which camp we were staying at. And they were going to go up over the weekend, which they've done. And then I was going to join them once I'd finished off some of the things that I had to do here, like the TV show and, you know, today and tomorrow's show. Anyway, I get a call yesterday. Forget it. It's a disaster. They've screwed up the booking. Now we're not at this camp. They want us to go to this one. And it's just, it sounds like such a mess. So I was going to be away from Wednesday for 3 days, but now it's canceled. It's all gone. So I'll be here every day. Lucky us. And there goes my holiday. And I have not been to the Kruger National Park in such a long time, but I have such fond memories of it because it really is a special place. And it's one of those places that makes South Africa one of the most beautiful and magnificent countries with the most incredible natural heritage of any place in the world. So I'm kind of sad because I wanted to see it. And who knows when I'll go again. There we go.
I'm not one of those unlucky people that don't get to really find anything unless I go on like a drive with a proper ranger.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, it's just buck and trees.
But even that's, you know, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, it's still good, yeah.
You know, and also my little nephews are now getting to the age where they can spot things and they know what different animals are. They even know what different birds are. I mean, you know, when I was a little kid, my brother and I used to pride ourselves in how we knew all the birds in the bird book. And I think my little nephew, certainly the eldest one, is exactly like that. So he's telling us this, you could see this, you could see that, you could see all these different things. It's very cool. It's very, very cool.
That's where it's beneficial to go with my friend. Her surname is Newman. You know the book Newman's Birds?
Yes.
That's her dad who wrote that, who put together that book.
I think his name is Paul.
So where is it?
Anyway,
okay,
cool. That's Newman's Birds is very well known. There's Robert's Birds, there's Newman's Birds. Those are like the top two bird books in South Africa.
So having her in the car with you is really beneficial. You don't have to look anything up. She knows them all.
Yeah, I'm just a little disappointed because I was kind of looking forward to it. I was also looking forward to the drive because it's a beautiful drive through that way. And you know, Mpumalanga is really, it's just so gorgeous. And I know it's been raining and maybe the roads aren't as great, but anyway, it would have been a nice break, but what can you do? So let's get cracking this morning. We have much to discuss.
I think you're looking for Kenneth Newman.
Newman. Thank you. Paul Newman. Kenneth Newman. So Sia, you found out about Richard Pryor over the weekend, who I've always said, he was the great granddaddy of comedy. In some ways, he was the first and the most original. And he was also an absolute nutcase. I mean, like, that guy's life story is something else. And his mantle was inherited by Eddie Murphy, who then passed it on to Chris Rock. In my opinion, that's like the line of succession for the great kings of comedy is Richard Pryor, and then Eddie Murphy, and then Chris Rock. And those three are indisputably in the top, certainly in my top five, but in almost everyone on Earth's top 10, right? They've got to be the greatest comedians of all time. If you don't include Richard Pryor, you're just not paying attention. But you watched a documentary about him over the weekend.
Yeah, I was largely at home for a huge chunk of the weekend, so I was doing a lot of TV watching. I stumbled on this documentary. It's called Richard Pryor Amidst the Logic. And I have to admit, I knew about Richard Pryor vaguely, just in culture, but I didn't know a lot of his story. So
wow.
I just was watching it out of fascination. I thought, what a life this man had.
Well,
firstly, I've never seen such a wide spectrum of women who simply speak about him as girlfriends and wives. I just like
that guy. He was married
a minimum of 8 times.
He had so much sex. He had so many wives, and a lot of them tried to kill him.
Yes, it was just a mess. He has just. I'm going to bounce around with all of these stories because to me, they're just ridiculous. He had a manager at a point and he was dating a girl and the manager knew of this girl. And Richard calls the manager at a point and says, look, I'm getting married.
Yeah.
And the manager was so excited and happy for him. And he says, oh, we're coming to the office now. So the manager like rushes around, gets a cake, and let's just say, as an example, he got the cakes that says, congratulations, Richard and Leanne.
Yeah.
But Richard rolls up with a new woman that is not Leanne. So yeah. He just found like these prop flowers and had to just stick them into the cake to hide the wording and was just like, okay, here you go, congratulations. So he was a proper womanizer, and he went through different phases as well, you know, like stereotypical just gorgeous girls, and then he went through a hippie phase.
Didn't one of his wives like petrol bombed his car or something?
It was just all properly messy. But what stood out to me was the fact that right now we live in these times of being so careful of what we say and, you know, how we look and what we do. Back then,
he was so he was so disinterested in whether or not you thought he was funny. He was just saying it. And most of his comedy was observational and fantastically clever. I mean, that's why I say he was a genius in his time. And people who don't know anything about Richard Pryor, you're missing out because what a guy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
was it a Netflix thing, yeah?
No. I just found it online.
Ah. Amazing.
But I would, just for them interest in seeing, I'd say just raw talent, unfiltered.
And just
watch that.
You know, you talk about his manager, that his manager was like trying, but really the guy was, he was what he was on screen and off. And he didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Like there was no spin. You know, you couldn't manage him. You couldn't like sanitize him for the public. He was just wild and people loved him because at that time, you know, everything was fake and in some ways it still is. And people are trying to manage their brand. You know how people
try and get it together and whatnot.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, really. You know, when someone starts talking to me about their brand, I'm like, please, go watch Richard Pryor. So didn't he once also set himself on fire when he was high?
Yeah, well, it's I think we can laugh about it because laughed about it afterwards.
What a guy.
His then, I don't know if it was a then girlfriend or wife, spoke about, you know, he was going through a lot of cocaine.
Yeah.
And he remembers that particular evening, he had mounds of cocaine.
Uh-huh.
Around the house. Now we know maybe like lines of cocaine. No, he had mounds of cocaine just dotted around different parts of the house. And she left him for a while and he was left alone at home with his security. And there was some sort of protest happening and he was watching that on the news and was in Asia somewhere. And he saw some people who were protesting with fire and throwing petrol bombs. And he like the security guard says, Richard was oddly intrigued by this. And he kept on just silently commenting like, wow, look at the commitment to that. Wow, so focused, you know, just to play with fire like that. And he says the security guard got up for just a couple of seconds. And the next thing he heard was this loud shriek. He came running back into the lounge and Richard had set himself alight. What sort of craziness must you have been?
I love him.
So now, let's try this fire thing.
What a guy.
And then after that, you know, authorities had to be involved, but they swept it so swiftly under the carpet, like they cleaned up the house themselves before the police came, so no investigation could be taken. Police had to force themselves into the house. It's a fascinating look at a life that we rarely get to see nowadays. That's what is intriguing about it.
I mean, that was such a wild time. People just did everything that they were. Drugs were, obviously they were illegal, but everybody was doing them in a certain sort of clique in society. And everybody was drinking, everybody was smoking. People wore these outrageous like 70s outfits. They were outspoken. There was so much sex. Mm. I mean, people were just having sex with everyone. And this Richard Pryor lived in those heydays. You know, he was like the poster boy in some ways for it.
So yeah.
There probably wasn't a single weekend of his life where he wasn't totally, totally out of it.
Oh, it's exhausting.
Well, yeah, but he, you know, that's a life well lived. And although we laugh about him now, I think there are many people whose lives are just so ordinary and so mundane who wish they could just have one weekend of their lives where they would be like Richard Pryor. You know,
yeah.
Little taste of that.
No, for people just to not care and do whatever they want. He took years off his career. He lived in Africa for a while. Mm-hmm. He got a great gig in Las Vegas. That's like what you want as a prime comedian. He left that because he was not interested. So, like, I mean, just live.
What a guy.
Do your mounds of cocaine. That's your Monday motivation.
He used to have like a mountain range set out in front of him on the table, and he just like, hit his whole head down into the coke, make a big cloud of it.
My God. Speaking of documentaries, I watched, finally got to watch my Octopus Teacher.
Oh, yeah?
And
was it worth the hype?
It's a beautiful film. It really is. And as a lover of nature and animals, and the connection that we make with animals and vice versa, I really loved it. But I knew it was going to be hard because obviously something horrible is going to happen. So I watched it up until the point of where something horrible was about to happen. And then I had to pause and wait and gather my thoughts for about an hour before I could continue watching it and prepare myself for the crying I knew I was going to do.
It must be horrible watching anything with you. I mean, can't just watch it in one sitting.
Indeed, I did. I sobbed hard tears. I really did. But it was beautiful. So, and to the person who said, remember I gave you like a little synopsis of what I saw in the trailer?
Yeah.
And someone said, yeah, and you totally botched it.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well,
I did get it right. So,
yeah. Hand their ass to them this morning.
Yeah, person.
I've heard such varying reviews of that thing. And look, I'm going to struggle to enjoy that. It's not my kind of thing, I don't think.
No, it's not your thing at all.
But, you know, bless everybody who loved it. And apparently it's put together by a South African. And, you know, it's very Cape Town. It's a very Cape Town documentary, from what I understand. Some people absolutely loved it and some people just hated it. So I think I know which side I'd be on, so I'm just going to steer clear, I think. That's probably the best way to go. All right, shall we get into some headlines?
Let's.
Dun, da, da, dun, da, da, da. Okay, first things first. E-hailing drivers in Gauteng, the Western Cape and the Free State are threatening to go on strike on Monday, complaining about being exploited and neglected. They are demanding that the companies they operate under, Uber and Bolt, be regulated so they can be protected from exploitation. They say operations will be suspended from the early hours of the morning. In the spirit of Transportation Month, we felt it was important to put together a demonstration in order to bring our plight to the forefront, said the driver spokesperson, Vatuka Nelengwa. He said, we as operators feel highly exploited by apps like Uber and Bolt, and think it's important that regulations be put in place to protect us as operators. Well, then just be a normal taxi. See how that works out for you. I don't understand this. Like, you know, no one on earth owes you a job, and no one on earth owes you a living. If you are alive on planet Earth today, that is not anyone else's responsibility. If you're an adult of sound body and mind, you need to find a way to live. And if one of those ways to live has come about in the last 10 years due to technology like Uber, and now you've got, you know, one or two cars and you're making a living that otherwise you would have been unemployed, I don't see how everybody else needs to be involved in that situation. Either work for Uber because it's great and you make money, or don't work for Uber because you think they're exploiting you. But why the hell you need to go on strike? I mean, what do you want us to say as the public? I use Uber all the time, not just for driving, but I use them to make deliveries for me, all kinds of things. I love Uber. It has made my life 100 times easier. And I'm sure I don't speak for just myself here. So I don't understand what these people want. If you want to work for Uber, work for them. If you don't want to work for them, don't work for them. Don't complain about them. Start your own if you're so clever and you're so important to the economy. Start your own. Or if you're really brave, go it alone. Cancel the app. Keep all the money to yourself. You decide your prices. Let's see how much business you get when you're fighting up against Uber. Let's see how it goes for you. It's a free market system, and the free market will always get the most value for your clients. That's people like me who use Uber, and for the people who want to work for Uber. It's already working fine. What do you mean more regulation? You want government to get involved? So we have to pay them a fee? So we have to get them managing things? The people who can't manage anything, now you want them to be involved in me booking an Uber? Piss off. So I have no sympathy. And every Uber driver I've ever met, I have a chat to most of them, and I find out what's going on, and they tell me whether or not they're enjoying their work. And listen, nobody loves their work 100% of the time, right? Nobody on earth. There isn't anyone who goes, I love every single second of every moment I've ever worked in this job. So a lot of the Uber drivers tell you, this could be better. But that's for the same for everybody. You don't like it? Law of 2 feet. Get on those 2 feet of yours and walk out the door. No one is holding a gun to any Uber driver's head saying you have to work for Uber. If it's a shit company, move on.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Am I being unsympathetic?
No, you're right. I mean, I don't understand the full story and exactly how they're being exploited and, you know, the nitty-gritty when it comes to what they're earning and what they're having to give up. And I also don't know if it's the same in South Africa as it is in the rest of the world. But is everyone revolting around the world?
No.
Against Uber? Or is it just a South African thing that we tend to strike every time we're a little bit unhappy about something?
I would love to see the taxi business, you know, minibus taxis. I'd like to see them on some kind of an app. I'd like to see them more regulated.
But not
Uber. I don't have a problem with Uber. Uber's already, it's market dynamics. You either use them because you trust them or you don't. Of course, there have been some situations where Uber comes out looking bad. And of course, there are big corporations. So there's going to be a certain marginalization of some people's rights some of the time. That's going to happen. Nothing is always fair. Nothing is always fair. But the taxi industry, let's talk about them. If we want to get anyone regulated, let it be them. Those things are about as unsafe as a car can be. Most of them are completely unroadworthy. They charge people extortionate rates. They drive really badly. And it's the only thing most people have. They can't choose alternatives. There are no alternatives for most people. Mm-hmm. In this country, that taxi business is the very nexus of so many of our problems in this country. Violence, intimidation. I mean, you saw during the lockdown, they were the only business that basically put the middle finger up to government, and government cowed. They caved. They did whatever the taxi business wanted them to do. So let's not.
Yeah, well, because they also have interests in it.
Yeah, if they're not going to be able to regulate minibus taxis, then just leave Uber alone, because that seems to be working. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
The closest that I remember to a bit of a clash, or at least was conversations around a balance and regulation, was with the London cabs and Uber in England.
That's right.
But you didn't see the people at the Tube trying to block Uber drivers from working, but we didn't see New York cab drivers being violent towards Uber drivers. But
this country,
when in South Africa,
I remember, I think it was last year, there were those stories of Uber drivers being pulled out of their car and set on fire.
And then how there was this unwritten rule of, you know, when you get dropped at, for example, a car train station, you know, you won't get dropped right at the entrance because cab drivers are intimidated by Uber drivers. And
And it's scary for passengers and users of the app as well. You know, they would say to you, sit in the front so it doesn't, I don't look like an Uber.
Right.
He would do a rolling stop and throw you out the door on his way. And there were times where I had to get a tuk-tuk to an Uber.
Right.
Because they couldn't go to certain points. It was scary.
Well, I hope they sort this out. But honestly, I'm just sick of strikes. And frankly, no, they don't achieve what they're meant to achieve. Most of the time, it's the only weapon in anyone's arsenal in this country. We've run out of ideas. We are bankrupt of ideas for how to solve problems in South Africa. So if it's not violence and it isn't strikes, then we don't know what else to do. All right, let's move on. Police in Limpopo have found the bodies of two women at an industrial site in the province. It's understood the pair were shot and killed execution style on Saturday. The authorities say that the women, who were believed to be from Gauteng, were viewing property to buy in Polokwane when they were attacked by, four unknown gunmen.
What the hell, man?
Isn't that scary? After shooting the woman at point-blank range, the suspects fled on foot towards a getaway vehicle, which was a red Hyundai with Gauteng registration numbers. The victims' identities have not been revealed, and the motive for the attack is still unknown. What a story.
It's weird that it was a Gauteng car. Excuse me. And the women were from Gauteng. Then it makes it not seem that random. That there might have been something behind it.
Who knows? And then Eskom, on Monday, that's today, deliberately cut power to people in parts of Soweto, the West Rand, and the Vaal. So if you had power cuts, this is deliberate by Eskom. They said they implemented so-called load reduction to prevent network overloading in these Gauteng communities. Eskom said it would restore power to the thousands of affected customers at 9 a.m. and called on them to not report these outages because we're on it, you know. So let's see what happens.
What a shitty time we've lived in when you now can't even report something.
Well, I think
they're like, don't bother.
I think they're just saying that because they're like onto the problem. You know, they've sorted it out. So maybe that's something that that they try. They're not saying don't report it because we don't want to hear from you. They're saying don't report it because we know we're onto this. All right. So then other stories. We won Nigeria. Dissolved feared police units after protests. And others, you know, we talk about protests and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. In Nigeria on Sunday, the government dissolved a special police unit that was set up to fight violent crime after deadly protests and a social media campaign backed by music and cinema celebrities rose up against years of illegal abuses. So this is obviously police brutality, basically. Nigeria, the president of Nigeria and the president's office announced the dissolution of the special anti-robbery squad, which ironically is called SARS in Nigeria, with immediate effect. The police statement also announced an investigation into allegations of crimes against citizens, adding that the culprits would be punished. So even in Nigeria, people can stand up to the police when it's appropriate to do so, and they can get some results. That's where I suppose we've got to say that, you know, protests occasionally do work. And then finally, international news, apart from Nigeria, is that this is the week where Donald Trump's pick for a Supreme Court vacancy, that's Amy Coney Barrett, she will arrive for her set of, what do they call them, hearings. She's got a four-day confirmation hearing in the Senate this week, and she's a conservative jurist. She's got, I think, seven kids. Two of them are adopted, and she will replace Liberal Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who died at 87. Her nomination for the role has proved politically controversial. It was announced by Donald Trump at the end of September that she would be his pick, just weeks before the before he takes on Democratic rival Joe Biden in the presidential election. And people have been fulminating on both sides of the aisle about her.
Ooh, fulminating.
Yes, it's another good word. Fulminating about her nomination to the Supreme Court, because they say it will imbalance the court, and now they're going to roll back abortion legislation and gay marriage and all kinds of hysterical things that are not going to happen, because although she's a conservative justice, then no one's challenging those cases, and it's highly unlikely that the court would decide in that direction. So she is going to probably be confirmed this week, and then America will have nine justices on the Supreme Court again. It's always an odd number, so that they don't end up in a tie when they're voting on things, which is quite.
I wonder what sort of screening process she and her family are currently going through, because you don't just make a massive pick like this as a thumbsuck.
Oh yeah,
you need to make sure that this person has never been a stripper, has never even stolen a suite before.
As far as I can tell, and you're absolutely right, you remember what happened to Justice Kavanaugh in those hearings where they accused him of rape, and they said he was a terrible person, and none of it was substantiated. Remember, there was no evidence. There was that crazy Christine Blasey Ford who broke down, and she was nervous the whole way through, and no one's ever brought any evidence that the guy was a bad person. All of those stories have disappeared. It's all gone away because it was purely about filling that seat, and the Democrats were just against her. And you remember Kamala Harris was the one who attacked Brett Kavanaugh the way that they're assuming the Democrats will attack this woman. But she seems to be pure as the driven snow. She's a conservative Catholic. She's been a judge for a number of years now, and we will see. We will see what happens, but it's going to happen this week. I'm listening live from New Zealand, and I just heard that hardy-dar fly past Leanne. It made me very homesick. That's from Lee. Yeah. You can come and have a... You know what? We'll send you...
Yeah.
If you're in New Zealand and you want some hardy-dars, we'll send them to you. Trust me.
Yes. Just wait. Traffic will pick up in a bit as well. You'll start hearing taxis honking.
Yeah.
Might hear an ambulance or a police van or two. Yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. Apparently someone here's got a story about Richard Pryor. He was also rumored to have had a relationship with a guy from The Godfather. Who's the guy from The Godfather? What, Marlon Brando? If you know more about that, I didn't know that. That's from Leith.
He has got later. His Google face on.
No.
Yeah. He's good. Checking this out.
All right. If you want to find our website, if you want to find our link on the website, it's right there on the front page. If you want to watch us live this morning, because we now have enabled video on cliffcentral.com, so you can watch the show instead of just listening to us live if you feel like you want to see Leanne and CNI this morning.
Oh, so yeah, Marlon Brando, that is what one of Richard Pryor's widows says.
That he had a gay affair with Marlon Brando?
Yeah, confirmed that the late comedian slept with Marlon Brando after record producer Quincy Jones let slip about their fling in an interview. I did not know that. It was the 70s, enough cocaine and good music, one could F a radiator and set it flowers in the morning.
See what I mean? What a time. What a time. That's just wow. Wild.
Okay.
That Richard Pryor was wild. Man, oh man. All right.
Crazy.
Hey, here is something to look out for on lottoland.co.za. The Keno 24/7 is a draw that takes place every 4 minutes. This is amazing. I didn't know about this. Yeah. You can stand a chance to win up to 10 million rand every 4 minutes. You can bet now. You go to lottoland.co.za. They've got all these different draws happening. You know, there's the US Powerball, which is, you know, I think it was just 6.6 billion rand, which I didn't win. But then remember, I told you I would tell you if I didn't win.
Yeah.
I said I wouldn't say a thing if I did win, but no such luck.
Yeah, I don't trust you that you could be playing with us right now.
You would have been able to tell. I'm not that good a liar.
Yeah, he'd have a different aura about him today.
I would not be worrying about money for the rest of my life. But no, I didn't win. But you could. Who knows? Go to lottoland.co.za. They are a licensed gambling platform. They're licensed with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. You have to be 18 years or older to place a bet. Winners know when to stop. The National Responsible Gambling Toll-Free Counseling Line is 0800-006-008. Go and check them out today. I mean, even, you know, into this this keynote 24/7. Every 4 minutes, there's a new draw. So if you're a big gambler, that's like manna from heaven. Get in there and like, 4 minutes, place a bet. I didn't win. Next one. Didn't win.
Yes.
But don't worry, you could just hit it every 4 minutes. Get your fix.
10 million rounds.
Yeah. Yes. It's funny. There was quite a lot of rain yesterday. And, you know, there's this river in front of my house and it always floods. But what happened is it's always a filthy, dirty, stinky river. And now the rain has washed away a lot of that stinkiness. So now the river's
nice.
Yeah, it's actually nice for a change.
I love the rain so much yesterday, and I had a grumpy old man moment when I was wondering why the rain was so satisfying to me up until I realized, oh, it's because the kids aren't playing outside. So the kids aren't making noise. And I thought, what a grumpy old man thing to say.
That's very grumpy. Sure, Sia, are you becoming a curmudgeon?
No, I felt horrible because my cleaner who comes once a week arrived and she said, sure, this rain. And I said, yeah, it's great. And she said, she looked at me and she said, no, it's not. She lives in Alex. And she said, the houses are just washing away.
Yeah.
And I felt so terrible because, yeah, we don't always see what's going on.
Well, I mean, even if, you know, you don't have to have your house wash away, but for a lot of people, they hate the rain because there's some leaky part of their roof or, you know, there's the garden gets flooded or a drain is blocked.
Yeah.
So I remember one year, I've got this little balcony outside the one passage and I hadn't cleaned out the drains on the side of the balcony. So they were filled with dead leaves and all that kind of shit. So it backed up and it actually came into the passage and it's carpeted. So that was a mess because then I had to dry it out and I don't think it ever dried out properly. I should probably really replace it. It doesn't smell, you know, damp or anything, but I know that I was putting down towels and vacuuming it up and wringing out the towels and putting them down again, and it was just such a process. So if you've got drains and we're going into the rainy season now, clean them out. There's some old man advice, Sia, to go with your old man grumpiness.
They're trying to discourage Canadians from being so fastidious when it comes to removing leaves from their gardens because they say it's actually affecting the environment.
What?
Because the ground needs a slight covering of leaves in order to maintain a specific ecosystem. So because the Canadians just see one leaf and they're like, clean it up.
Oh, let me tell you, I've got a neighbor and they've got someone who cleans their garden, but he uses a leaf blower.
Ooh, it's so annoying.
This guy he spends, I swear to God, 2 hours a fucking day with that leaf blower. The whole goddamn day. Like sometimes I'll be doing recordings, you know, in this room that I do the show from. And I'll be recording like an episode of Blind History or putting down a voiceover track for some other podcast series or whatever. And then this thing's going in the background. He loves that leaf blower. He has such a relationship with that thing.
I think it can become addictive.
Oh,
God. It's the whole satisfaction thing. So one of the YouTube channels I watch, I don't know if I should.
If you watch a channel about leaf blowing.
No, it's about power washing.
I love that. That comes up on my Instagram.
Those satisfying power washing videos. So like
pavements and
where they clean, they clean like a concrete slab, and they show you how clean they can get it. They take all the grime,
satisfaction that
takes away all the algae or fungi or whatever.
That's what's happening with that leaf blower.
Oh, I thought you were talking about some new function on the washing machine. I would have said that's a new low.
Well, speaking of crazy stuff that you watch on YouTube, I get addicted to those like home improvement secrets. You know, like I know this is so boring, but who's that woman who you follow, Leanne? That Asian woman who teaches you how to pack stuff and tidy
Kondo.
Up? That's right, Kondo.
Marie Kondo. Kondo.
She is fantastic, but I'll tell you, there's some great channels. Like, I discovered this one with all these tips of how you can arrange things in your bathroom. And it's so boring. Most people would think, shame, this guy needs to be put out of his misery because I watch these things. I love it. And they'll use
there's a market for it.
They'll use a toilet roll to build a contraption that does this and saves you space or cleans something much better. And, you know, people like, they show this new toothbrush that can like clean anything, and it's just unbelievable. I love this stuff. It's so great to be alive at a time where this kind of thing can amuse you for like hours at a time. It's ridiculous.
I can then highly recommend the channel called The Detail Geek.
Detail Geek. I'm looking for it now.
Yeah. So, you know, in I don't know if it's called that in South Africa, but in America, if you have your car detailed, it means to have it cleaned properly.
Oh, wow.
Where they literally take the seats out and steam the carpets and extract stuff.
Ooh. So the first video is deep cleaning the nastiest vehicle I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's like, I think the videos are up to half an hour long.
Oh, wow.
And you can literally just sit and watch a car being deep cleaned and everything being sucked out of it.
Oh, I love that.
See, I think I need to loop you guys in with my mother. Perhaps you'll make her feel better, because, you know, over the past couple of days, my siblings and I have said, you know, it's after she had an accident recently, so we've been making a concerted effort to connect with her, just to call and really like find out how she's doing, not just a surface level conversation. So now we're stuck. Well, sorry, horrible word, but we are stuck having a conversation with her for like 20, 30 minutes. Are you okay?
I know we tease you, Sia. We tease you about how you would make a good house husband for, you know, some rich dude. But I'll tell you what, I would make a great housewife if I could have come back, because I like organizing and tidying up the house, you know, that kind of shit. It's so boring, but I loved.
So one of the things this weekend that I had to like, just, I was half listening. My mother was so excited about, I'm going to get the phrasing wrong, a wartime blasting flosser. Have you heard of it?
Yeah.
A water pressure flosser.
High pressure.
Yeah. I'm thinking, this is not what I want to do with my time, but that is her new favorite thing and how it cleans so well. And oh my goodness, it is why wasn't she caught up with something like this for years now? I'm thinking, okay, here we go. This is a delight.
So
it sounds like detailed geek to me.
I did something really boring on Saturday. I cleaned my ice machine. I've got one of those ice machines that, you know, you just leave on and it makes plenty of ice. It's like a box, and you put water in it and then it makes these little ice cubes or ice blocks of some kind. Anyway, I cleaned that out because it's got a little tray with water. And if you can't just leave the same old water in there because it's eventually going to get manky. And then I cleaned everywhere on the inside, and I was using paper toweling, and I used some you know that sterilizing liquid that you use for baby bottles?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I used that. I cleaned this thing out. It was so clean. You could have...
And satisfied.
Oh, you could have licked every surface and you would never have got any germs. It was so clean. It's sparkling. Makes me so happy. I clean the kettle sometimes just to make myself... You know, I clean the inside and the outside of the kettle and... Oh, God, I get such...
I use descalers and I clean the kettle with descalers.
Yes.
And also the iron.
Yeah, there's this one thing I watched.
Such nerds.
Such boring old nerds. There's this one thing I watched where people put like some vinegar in a packet, like a plastic bag, and they put it over the shower head to decalcify your shower head. Because, you know, sometimes your shower head gets blocked or it's not 100% clean and trapped calcium from the water, and you've got to clean that out. The other thing I did, oh, this is boring, but let's go. The other thing I did, I actually dismantled my bathroom taps and cleaned out those little filters at the end of the tap.
Oh, yes.
You know,
you know, in the head of the tap, it's got like a...
Yes. It's like a mesh.
Yeah. Mm. You got to clean that out because you won't believe the shit that's gathering in there. And you, yeah. And you use that tap to... Because it's just, it's municipal, it's municipal water. You use that tap to brush your teeth. And there's some like piece of a chicken bone or God knows what else that's been there. I didn't find anything like that, but it happens.
I use one of these water filters.
Oh, yeah.
And I started using it after I had a burst pipe issue. And I saw what the pipes looked like.
Oh, my God. You see what your water pipes look like. It's frightening.
The water pipe, they're completely eroded and have holes in them and rust. I started using this water filter. And when I know when it's time to replace it because this black stuff starts oozing out the top. And that just shows you.
Not to make you paranoid, oh, Leon, so but do you then use that water to also like brush your teeth?
No.
So it's still getting into. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Look at us. How domestic are we?
Fun.
That was great. we've bored our audience to death with home improvement shit this morning. Oh, how boring.
Yeah. Really doesn't change the price of my bread. I couldn't be bothered.
Man. All right, you can get hold of us on 0797482090. A couple of messages here. Ruth says, hey, G, I can also relate to the leaf blower every Tuesday, like clockwork for over 4 hours. Ugh. Just one thing is that it's much, much louder than the sound you made. Yeah, I'm telling you, this guy's obsessed with his leaf blower. He loves it. Just can't get enough. Jeremy says, thanks for... What?
Is he retired?
No. They've got like a gardening service dude.
Is the gardening service
and
guy.
He does this at least 2 days a week for at least an hour or two. Every time. It's such an annoying
thing. Sound, and then another sound that I can't handle is when someone's doing renovations and they're cutting tiles.
Yeah. That's sore. All right. Jeremy says, very cool having the video feed. Thank you. And Veronique says, please check the webinar link on Cliff Central's website. Well, that seems to be working for a whole bunch of people, Veronique. So maybe it's just you. Another way, I do this too, where you assume that something isn't working for you because there's something wrong with it. But it turns out it's working for everyone except you because you did something wrong. That happens to me often. And I'm like, thing doesn't work. And then it does work. It's just I'm an idiot.
I don't know if it still exists, but there was a website called something like, is it just me?
Okay.
And then you could go on there and see if it was Google that was down or if Gmail was down.
Okay.
Or Twitter.
Well, that's useful. All right. So if you do want to watch us live and you're not Veronique, then you can click on the link. Everybody else, just do your thing. You know, it's just her. And we've specially blocked Veronique.
No, but what I don't understand is how did Veronique message on this platform?
I know. I know. That's what
Reason why I'm saying, the reason why I'm saying we'll look into it is because, you know, we also post the link on social media. So she could have found the link on our Twitter and not on our website. So it's worth looking.
All right.
Veronique might not be cuckoo.
Okay. Yeah, we'll take that. I'll stop being rude to her. Okay, it is it's 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. When we come back, some more and plenty of other exciting things. I have Nicholas Clothis Sinclair telling us about cloud dating, which I mentioned a while ago.
Veronique says, sorry, she says,
look,
guys, it's working now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, whoops. Oh, Veronique, I did stand up for you. Oops.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to the car.
Cliffcentral.com